Hello and welcome to the Shrimp Tank, coming to you every Tuesday morning from the BRS Consulting Studios in Little Rock. I'm your host, Rich Jensen, along with my co-host, David Sims, and our special repeat guest this week, Dr. Amy Hester of HD Nursing. If this is the first time you've joined us, just know that you can always catch all of our episodes at arkansas.shrimptankpodcast.com and also our five-minute post-show wrap-up videos on the YouTube channel. And be sure to go ahead and hit the subscribe button on iTunes if you'd like to listen to all of our episodes while you're commuting in the car. Might as well feed your brain and grow your business at the same time instead of just listening to some shock jock, right? So, David, did you have a good Labor Day weekend?
Man, I can't remember. Last time I had one is great. It started with a Thursday proposition from my wife. She literally said, I have a proposition for you.
And
I
got excited.
Whoa. And so, yeah, she wanted to go up to Northwest Arkansas. Oh, she had ulterior motive, of course.
Your daughter just started school there. Yeah.
But it was great. We spent the whole time together and went to Crystal Bridges, saw the Georgia O'Keeffe collection, and just enjoyed a great weekend. Got back last night. It was a blast. It's hard to get started, but I was looking forward to this repeat from our guest, Dr. Hester.
Hey, before we jump right in with talking with Amy, I wanted to mention an article I saw in Entrepreneur Magazine. A woman named Saima Khan. How's this? She ran into Warren Buffett at the airport, started having a conversation with him, and then offered to come and cook a meal for him because she's Pakistani in his home, and he took her up on it. Well, it turned out to be a huge success, and she started doing these, we'll come to your home and we'll cook dinner for $5,000 per guest. She was doing phenomenally well. She used to be a banker in New York, right? She moved back to London, started doing this for royalty, for celebrities, for billionaires. And then she got hit, and this is talking about stress testing. The UK passed a tax law retroactive on her income from years before, and they had a $200,000 tax bill hit. And wow. She says, I can't pay this and meet payroll and do all these things. And so the point of the article is, have you stress tested your business? Mm. So maybe that's a thing we can ask Amy is, Amy, have you stress tested your business? But we've been going through this a lot with some of our top hat things about stress testing with non-qualified deferred comp plans. So
one thing that's very important is to know if you're doing business across state lines, you better have your sales tax and your tax issues resolved.
Yeah. Well, this was something, I mean, how do you prepare for the government retroactively, years past, taxing your income? Seems unconstitutional, but it wasn't the U.S. It was the U.K., so who knows?
Well, we just had the Wayfair decision by the U.S. Supreme Court come out. That issue's finally now been resolved, that states can tax internet sales and those kind of things. So it's there. I mean, my son's a tax lawyer, and he's dealing with that issue right now.
Retroactive, though?
Yeah, some of them can be because the cases have been pending. The laws were in place, and they were challenged.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of companies.
Hey, all you entrepreneurs using the internet for sales.
Been
do a stress test.
Huge, huge business for my son. I mean, he's doing like 80-hour weeks. It's like, so he's good. He's paying off his law school debt real fast.
One business's bane is the other one's windfall.
That's right. Yeah, so Rich, this is the second podcast with Dr. Amy Hester, PhD, who has a co-founder and chief scientific officer of HD Nursing, located here in Benton, Arkansas, just a bit southwest from the Shrimp Tank here, studio here. She holds a PhD, a master's, a bachelor of science in nursing, and is the author of many papers. She's a frequent speaker and subject matter expert in falls management across the continuum of care. As we discussed last time on the show, Dr. Hester has recently retired from her position from the University of Arkansas Medical Sciences back in June and rehired as the chief scientific officer full-time with the company she and Dees Davis co-founded back in 2012. Isn't that right, Amy?
That's right.
Yeah, HD Nursing. So I'm not going to reintroduce her company. You need to listen to the previous show on that. We're excited. We had to have her back because there were so many questions. I got my list from the script from last time. I mean, nine questions? It was and you mentioned something like a memory
like a
of a deposition. Yeah.
It's like an ongoing deposition.
Great memory, huh?
Your story better not have changed in the last 4 weeks.
Well, Dr. Hester, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Great to have you. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, you know, last time on the show, you mentioned all the different resources that are available to entrepreneurs and startups right here in Little Rock. So I thought it might be good to go over those again for our listeners, if you don't mind. You talked about some things you've done with AEC.
Yeah, you said them so fast. That's one of the reasons why we had to have you back on the show. You're just like a wealth of information. We're just going to have to slow you down and just unpack that a little more.
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of resources that I would strongly suggest. Innovate Arkansas. Arkansas is one of the resources I would definitely recommend looking into. Innovate Arkansas helped us early on when we were really getting ready to put our business plans together, and we were looking at pulling together more than a lean canvas, if you will, if you're familiar with those. That's a one-page business plan, but really putting together a business plan just in case there were investors. We were getting ready to start our seed round just in case there were investors that were going to want to look deep into that. Interesting, business plans used to be something that were just you lived and died by the business plan apparently. But for us, we actually didn't wait into AEDC, the Arkansas Economic Development Commission. Mike Smith at Innovate Arkansas really helped us with navigating our way through the offerings, the tax credit offerings for investors that AEDC had to offer. Was there really hand in hand with us when we were going to AEDC, telling them who we were and what we were about. And we did end up getting some tax credits from the AEDC for our investors. We had two seed investors. They're actually both California based, but you can sell those tax credits. Like, they don't pay Arkansas state taxes, obviously. And so they were able to sell those to, and you know, someone we knew here in Arkansas for a fraction on the dollar. And then it's a win-win-win-win-win for everyone.
Right. Yeah.
And then some of the other things that we were exposed to a little bit later in the game, Venture Center in downtown North Little Rock is a really neat place for upstart entrepreneurs, especially if you are looking at making local networking connections, figuring out what, if you're really early on in the ecosystem of entrepreneurship in Arkansas, it's just a good place to meet people and understand where they are. It's a neat and safe environment to pitch. So if you're not used to pitching and you want a group that's going to give you some honest feedback, they're definitely a good, solid place for that. So those are just a few of the...
What would you recommend for a company that's, say, about a year into it? And they've got some traction. It's in the health related field. It's a health clinic, and they've got a lot of things going. But they might need some outside perspective, you know, to kind of assess where they've been, where they are, and where they want to go. They could get good feedback. Would that be the Venture Center? Would that be a place to...
So the Venture Center may have some of that, but there is an interesting program that is starting up. So Jeff Stinson is the director of the Health Innovator, which is a grant-funded... It's funded by the state of Arkansas. This year, it is administered by Winrock International. I'm actually an entrepreneur in residence for them for that healthcare accelerator. And Arkansas Heart Hospital and UAMS are the two sponsor hospitals for that program. And we brought in six teams of over 140 applicants from like 19 different countries. We brought, there's one Arkansas-based company from Fayetteville called Lapovations, and the other six are from various places. Interestingly, all innovation hubs within the U.S. So Houston, San Francisco, Seattle, Chicago, Boston. So, you know, big, real innovator type
I've heard
places.
About that phrase. We had a guest on, I don't know, it was last week or week before last, who mentioned innovation hubs. Are those connected like to universities?
Sometimes they are, and sometimes they're just connected to larger accelerators. You know, out in California, the big Y Combinator accelerator is out there. And a lot of these companies that are in the Health Innovator today are more mature companies. They've been at it for a little while. The CEOs are typically serial CEOs and serial entrepreneurs themselves. But we did have 18 Arkansas based companies that applied, and we knew that we wanted to help them in some way, and they're all healthcare based because it's a health innovator. And so we found a way on a parallel track, even though they didn't get a bit into the official accelerator cohort, we're still finding ways to help them and propel them in whatever means, you know, they need, whether it's working on their pitch deck, making introductions to providers within the state. And so Jeff Stinson and I have been working hard to develop a statewide provider coalition so that in next year's accelerator, that can be an accelerator that is really not so focused on UAMS and Arkansas Heart as single sponsors, but more of a provider coalition of healthcare providers across the state. Those providers are also investors into the accelerator, and so they have a dog in the hunt. Mm-hmm. And so it's really interesting. So we're looking forward to having a bigger bandwidth to support more Arkansas healthcare-based startups next year. So that's going to definitely be an asset for healthcare-based startups in Arkansas in the very near future. Very excited about that.
You know, one thing you mentioned after the podcast last time off air, hopefully it's okay for me to ask this. If not, we'll edit it out.
Plead the fifth. She can plead the fifth if she wants.
But we talked about gross revenues for HD Nursing. And that, I mean, I know you had a lot of years preparing, getting all your IP up and everything. But from when you really started marketing and going to, I think you said $3 million of gross revenues, what was the time frame between, okay, now we're really a company, boom, up to $3 million of gross revenues? It happened fairly quickly once you got
it happened
in place,
fairly
right?
quickly, about 3 years. You know, we had a quiet time in 2013 to 2015 when we were really keeping the lights on. We had a very small team, and everything that we brought in was keeping payroll met and doing what we needed to do to keep the lights on, basically. Mm-hmm. And then it's interesting when you start making money as an LLC, you have to be careful because however you do your taxes, you know, taxes can really be a burden. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we weren't ready to do distribution to the members, but we weren't ready for a big tax burden either. And so the way we do business is interesting because a hospital may pay us in October, and that's for the whole coming year of services. So we do an accrual-based method of taxes, and that helps us make sure that our taxation is spread out over the time that we're actually serving that client, and we're not getting hit with taxes right. really hard at the end of the year.
Yeah, otherwise, all of that tax, if it wasn't accrual, all of that tax would have been due in the year that you got paid, and now you don't have the money to meet payroll and
That's
everything
exactly
else going
right,
forward.
Right. So when you talk about stress testing your business, boy, the more proactive you can be in that, the better. So there are things that you want to really think about as you start growing and scaling up. We laugh internally. We say, mo money, mo problem. But there's really a lot of truth to that, you know? So the more revenue you're making, the more you have to think about, you know, how are you meeting payroll? What other expenses are you going to have? Because as you grow, you start getting other expenses along the way. Mm-hmm. You're, you know, early on, we didn't have office space that we were cultivating and all of that. We were all working from home. We were, you know, bootstrapping everything and making it all work, and then realized that we really did need an office space. We needed that bricks and mortar. And so, so when you're putting an office together and all of that other stuff, those are good expenses for your business to have, but they're still expenses nonetheless.
And it's what I think a lot of entrepreneurs don't realize is it's going to grow, and then you got to build the infrastructure to support the growth. And then it's going to grow, and you're going to build infrastructure. So don't start taking huge distributions unless you got a really nice line of credit sitting there to handle those growth phases.
Yep, that's exactly right. And our members are very thoughtful about that. Everybody wants to make sure that, you know, the company has what it needs to survive. And so really getting our accounting structure dialed in was very important. Really understanding what our burn rate is. And so for those that may not know what a burn rate is, that's how much you're spending on everything every month. That's how much it's taking you to keep your nostrils above the waterline. And so, you know, you want to have so many months into the future, considering your burn rate.
Yeah, ask Elon Musk about that. I think he's burning a couple billion a quarter.
It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, we're not there yet.
I have two follow-up questions on Health Innovator. Is there kind of a cycle to that? Like if a company wants to get in and get the resources or get the access and the feedback, is there a cycle to that?
There is a cycle to that. So this cohort will run through mid-November. So we anticipate closing them out about November 15th, somewhere around in there. We know that these companies are going to continue to partner with both Arkansas Heart and UAMS beyond that, even when the innovator is over. And that's exactly what we want. We want these technologies to become embedded in these organizations. We want them to hire people here in Arkansas, which some of them are actually already doing, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And we want them to see Arkansas as a really interesting and opportune place to have satellite offices, employ more Arkansans, consider moving here if they're not already a very large company. And so that's really, from an AEDC perspective, that's mm-hmm. really the goal, is that you cultivate business and employment here in Arkansas right. with really good, well-paying jobs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the second question was the AEDC tax credits. Just kind of step through that process. Like, let's say a startup company wants to deliver healthcare to rural areas, and they have a lean canvas put together and a business plan that backs it up. What would be the steps that they would need to take to see if they qualify for tax credits?
Yeah, so you really have to be a company that is looking for investment opportunity, right? So you're not bootstrapping it or putting all the money in yourself. You're really looking for outside investment funds.
Mm-hmm.
And what that tax credit does is it incentivizes investors to invest in you. And mm-hmm. so let's say that we had $1 million round. And we were looking to raise $1 million, and you were interested in perhaps investing $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
So what the AEDC tax credit allows you as an investor to do is to invest that $300,000, and then you can claim a third of that as a tax exemption if you with your
right.
AEDC tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can have that tax exemption without losing any equity. You can
right.
claim that as a tax exemption
yeah,
without losing
absolutely.
Any of your equity in the company.
Yeah.
If you're an out-of-state investor, then you can sell that tax credit to an Arkansan
mm-hmm.
for whatever you negotiate. Ours negotiated 80 cents on the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So they got their $80,000 back
yeah.
right, of that $300,000
sure.
investment. They got $80,000 cash back, still kept all their equity in the company. Our Arkansas guy got $100,000 worth of tax credits for $80,000. So it was mm-hmm. a pretty sweet deal
sweet.
For him.
Yeah.
And so it really is a nice incentivized package to have people really look at you
mm-hmm.
In a different way.
And then to get the ADC to help you see if you qualify for it, what are the steps for?
There's an application process.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, you have to meet with them,
mm-hmm.
share everything, all of the ins and outs of your business. It's really a pretty transparent dissection of your business from AEDC. They don't want to just give that tax credit to
gotcha.
Anyone for sure.
Gotcha.
Hey, for the sake of time, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit. If you're new to the Shrimp Tank and you want to know what it's all about, you can always catch all of our podcasts at arkansas.shrimptankpodcast.com, and you can subscribe through iTunes to download all past episodes and watch our 5-minute post-show wrap-up videos on YouTube. But I want to jump right into the next segment with Dr. Hester here of HD Nursing, which is a genuine Arkansas startup, started right here, got outside investors in, bringing revenues to Arkansas, which is great. But I guess, David, we call this the shrimp cocktail portion of the show, Amy, where just kind of little tidbits of wisdom that you can give to our listeners to kind of chew
something,
on a little bit.
Luscious, nice shrimp cocktail, right? So what's the number one thing you've learned about managing a company's budget, first at the startup phase and then second at the velocity phase of HD Nursing? Because you guys are really kind of in velocity phase, aren't you?
We are. Even when you think there's a lot of money in the bank, there's not a lot of money in the bank.
There's never enough cash. Huh?
And so you can't be disillusioned by that, because
yeah.
you really have to, when I bring on somebody full time to the company, they're usually leaving a very stable environment that they've been in for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So that fact is not lost on me. And so in my heart of hearts, I want to make sure that I feel comfortable and secure in knowing that I have... that we're good, and I have no doubts that for the next 2 years, that person is secure and I don't have anything
mm-hmm.
to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
And so beyond that, 2 years is an eternity in the lifespan of where we're talking now. I mean,
right.
we could have exited already by 2 years, but that's just my general rule. And that's kind of my internal moral compass, is making
mm-hmm.
sure that, because people are coming to work for you because they believe in you and they believe
mm-hmm.
in what you're doing. And it's a leap of faith, too, for people that are coming to work full time in a startup. It's very different than going to work for a big Blue Cross Blue Shield or,
yeah.
Hey, but you figure 2 years is enough time for them to have an impact. And so if they're having the impact they're supposed to have, they've helped those revenues grow to support them beyond that.
That's
right?
exactly right.
So,
yep.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. That's good.
So what's the decision-making process you use? I know you talked about, having to hire a CEO at one point, and also I think you hired a director of clinical operations recently. You mentioned that. So what's kind of the decision-making process for when you need to hire someone?
Yeah, so that's all about bandwidth. So when you are not enough hamsters on the wheel and you just can't make it go anymore, one person can only do so much for so long. You can only lift for so long,
yeah.
right? it's kind of like pressing, 200 pounds. You can do it, but you're not going to do it eternally.
Right.
And so you have to really feel when that pressure is coming on and when you need somebody else to do that.
Do you subscribe to the thought that, because I was told once early on in business, when you think you need to hire someone, wait about 6 more months and then hire them? Or would you rather get ahead of the curve?
So I think that depends on the position and the criticality within the organization. There is some truth to that. Mm-hmm. And there is some truth to you mentioned the article about stress, kind of stress testing your business. We definitely do that. And we do a lot of tabletop exercises of, if we brought this many clients on now, could we handle them? Or what would we need to do to be able to handle that volume of clients if they were to start signing on now? And so we really map out our workflows into the future. Mm. And our workload into the future so that we can see where the ebbs and flows are of that. And we back into FTE requirements based on the hours of those workloads. So we can see at any given time what the ebbs and flows for FTEs and the demand for that FTEs is going to be. And so.
And for our listeners, what is an FTE?
Oh, sorry. So that's a full-time employee. Right. So that's somebody that's working 40 hours a week. And so if there are. Once we get to a point where there's so many FTEs that are required and that is sustained, that's when at that point, you can't really function. You mm-hmm. really need to get somebody steady and stable into that position. Mm-hmm. If it's going back and forth a lot, it's great to have consultants to come in when you need them and don't use them when you don't need them. Mm-hmm. You're not, those are a lot less expensive on your business and it's different to pay a consultant good money for a little bit of time versus good money all the time.
Right.
And so we do that a lot.
Did you figure that out on your own or how'd you get to understand that? Or
We figured that out sort of on our own from a mapping perspective, but that really comes from my days as an administrator in healthcare.
Gotcha.
Right? How many FTEs, here's how many patients you're taking care of. Here's how many hours per patient day it takes to take care of those patients. How many bodies, what's the skill mix, all of those other things. And so I really use that to back into the business to figure out what we need. Mm-hmm. And then if you can tell really when you've mapped that out that you need that person sustained, you have to think, if I need them on October 1st, I need them 100% on October 1st. Right. So how long is it going to take to get them there?
Right.
And then hire ahead of that, giving them that orientation period to ramp up. Yeah. Absolutely.
So following up kind of on that, how do you make decisions regarding your compensation packages for your key executives, such as yourself, CEO, sales and marketing VP, and director of clinical operations? How did you guys figure that out?
So our CEO, Gary Platzman, really helped with that a lot. He's lived in the corporate world for a very long time, and I haven't. I've been in the medical world, which is very different. In the medical world, you don't have bonus structures. You don't have vestment structures. You don't live in that world, right? And
right.
So in the corporate world, it's very different. So there's bonus structures tied to all of that based on performance, semi-annual performance appraisals. And so everyone from the director level up in our company has some form of their salary tied into bonuses. And we have to meet volume requirements, quality requirements, and all of those things before anybody gets any of those bonuses. And so we're all very incentivized at that level to meet the mark.
Gotcha. So the executives are accountable to the directors, and the directors are accountable to the equity owners, right?
So it's a little bit opposite. So a director is like director of operations, right?
Uh-huh.
And she reports to me. And so there's directors, and then there's chiefs, and then there's of course the members. They're over here, and yeah. And so for us, we're very incentivized for that. And then for the VP level and above, so that's VP and chiefs. I missed a level. Director, VP, and chief.
Right.
So for VPs and above, there are, if you meet those metrics for 18 months and you've made your bonuses and all that stuff, then there's equity shares that are awarded to those employees that meet those demands.
Is that for everybody in the company?
VP and above.
VP and above. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Kind of ties into the next question that Rich has for you about that.
Yeah. How do you know, say one of your key executives owns a majority interest. How does the company avoid the inevitable conflicts in setting salaries so the minority equity owners don't feel like they're shortchanged?
Yeah. So that's a good question. Right now, our CEO, Gary Platzman, and I are the only equity owners that actually work within the company.
Mm-hmm.
And so together we are majority shareholders. But we actually have quite a bit of our equity that's off in treasury that's just liquid. Mm-hmm. And so we anticipated that we were going to do a very large Series A round, and we actually were able to close it without filling that because we landed a couple of large clients. Mm-hmm. And so everyone else that works within the company, of course, that we have three other full-time employees and then all of our consultants. So they're all currently not equity holders today. And so all of our other members that are equity holders, they're just that. They don't have any other formal role within the company at all, other than they want us to make a lot of money to make mm-hmm. them a lot of money.
So what prevents you and the CEO from saying, hey, we deserve to be paid, you know, $10 million each? Equity owners, you might get paid in 2030 or 2050 or something like that. What prevents you guys from doing that?
Yeah, so, you know, 100% of nothing's nothing, right?
That's right.
And so you have to be careful that you don't you can't get greedy in the middle of everything. You want to get paid well, and you want to get paid what you're deserved. Mm-hmm. But you do that at a market rate. So you do market analyses of what people in similar okay. positions get paid.
Right.
And you compare that to what you are asking your membership board for, and that's all approved.
Gotcha.
All of that has to be approved. The other piece of that too.
Approved through the members.
Through the membership board.
Yeah, mm-hmm. membership board.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And so
who are the equity owners?
Who are the equity owners?
Right.
That's exactly right. And so what you want to do is you want to keep people happy. You know, mm-hmm. people will work harder when they're happy, obviously. And
right.
Gary and I have years of skin in the game. And so the other side of that is that a large percentage of that, of our salaries, are tied into bonus structures.
Right.
So, and our performance, you know,
yeah.
goals are very aggressive. So if we're meeting those, the company's doing good. Right.
And so, but you and Gary have a majority share. Do you guys recuse yourself from that vote with the member level, with the member board, or do you guys participate in that vote, or is there some kind of a way to?
There's really not a vote. It's a proposal, and if anyone really has any questions or concerns, then we can address those. Gary is very reasonable, and it's funny you asked me what the worst thing about working with Gary Platzman was
last year, last time.
And I thought, you know, that. He's a Patriots fan, and I can deal with that. But the best thing about
great.
Working with him is that his integrity is amazing. Mm-hmm. He has very stellar integrity. And so he would never, and I would never do anything that would put any of this in harm's way.
Right.
And so he and I have both eaten a lot of bologna sandwiches and ramen noodles to get to where we are today. And if we had to do that again for some reason, we would
do it again.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
so
that's really good.
It's just how it is.
It's the kind of ethic you want. You know,
yeah.
That really sounds like a great ethic for the company.
Well, Dr. Hester, as fun as it is for us and our listeners, we're not going to put you through that plead the fifth again. Besides, you got away with an easy answer like he's a Patriots fan.
That's right.
But we want to take the time, since we're having you back a second time, to talk more about HD Nursing and share with our listeners the great things you're doing and planning to do through your company. So you've said on your website by the year 2020, it is estimated that the direct and indirect cost of falls will exceed $47 billion annually. How does HD Nursing prove to its customers and potential customers that its programs will reduce those costs?
Yeah, so the proof is in the pudding, right? So we look at our customer results. And so we take, before we go into a client, we take their year previous data as a baseline, and then we implement our clinical content in their organization, and then we watch them prospectively over time. And so for our clients that were reporting data through Q2 2017 of last year, on average, we were reducing their falls by over 40%. And on average, we were reducing falls with injury by over 60%. And so, and we were, you know, and we're sustaining that moving forward. One of our large clients just had their lowest fall rates ever in organizational history again in June of this year. And so we continue to break that glass floor in our world. We want them to get lower and lower and lower and
right.
lower. And so falls are very costly to hospitals, both from not getting reimbursed for the care that is a consequence of those injurious falls and litigation. So
yeah.
falls is the most common reason that nurses are litigated against.
Mm. Wow. What is the HD Nursing Collaborative? Who should join it, and how do you join it?
Yeah. So the HD Collaborative is really a collaborative of all of our clients that have access to the full program.
Got it.
And so if you license the content, then you have access into the HD collaborative. And so there are all kinds of tangent benefits that come along with that, from the internal networking that occurs with that, internal benchmarking that occurs with that, all the library suite of services. We do a lot of, we do podcasts and Vimeos and things like that internally, mm-hmm. that are real short takes of, mm-hmm. Better, how to provide better care. And so they have access to all of those
right.
snippets. And so, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
So we talked a little bit of the Health Innovator here in Little Rock. How does it help companies? I think you mentioned it last time, fail faster and scale faster.
Right. Yeah. So there are some people that have really, really, really good ideas, and they are maybe looking at it through the wrong lens, that they're looking at through their narrow lens of experience. And when you create something, your baby is the most beautiful baby on the planet. And so it's hard to hear somebody else call your baby ugly.
It's like that right. old Seinfeld episode, The Ugly Baby.
Yes, exactly right. Breathtaking, exactly. So, and it's interesting. One of the things that's really important to do early, if you have an invention or an innovation or an idea, or you're cultivating a startup, is to see who your competition is and who else is out there doing that. And are there people that are already have a market share or are market leaders or got that household name and whatever widget is out there. Mm-hmm. And so we see that sometimes a company's out there and they have a great idea, but they're in their infancy and there's already somebody out there that is way down the road with that, mm-hmm. that has maybe already exited and some big company taking them over. And so they may be just a little bit different, but they're so similar that they're, it's going to be hard for them to compete mm-hmm. in the big world with that. And so,
gotcha.
Yeah. I'm going to deviate here for a second because something occurred to me. Mark Hill with Vortalon was on a couple of weeks ago, and we talked with him afterwards, and he was talking about, and you might not have experienced this because your IP is so strongly protected and so proprietary, but he talked about when companies get bigger, all of a sudden they got a big target on their back. And when you talked about that big company out there, did you guys have to think about that, or because you're so protected and so new and no one's doing it, was that not a concern to prepare in advance when some large company came in and tried to either, you know, take you out or compete against you in an area that you didn't have the scale to compete?
Yeah, so that's always a concern, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's part, that should be part of the mix of any stress test, right? Is there somebody out there that I don't know about? What would happen if we discovered that? What is our value proposition and what makes us so uniquely different that no one would ever be able to replicate our secret sauce? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the thought was out there very early on about that. We knew that it had taken us years of research to develop what we developed. So that was,
there's a little bit of a
safety net from that perspective. But then the other piece of that from our perspective is the validation and the sustainability and the replicability of what we've been able to do at all of our clients being successful. And so once you get that reputation and that brand name, you worry about that a little bit less, but it's always in the back of your mind.
Yeah, yeah. One final question that we're going to wrap it up. You talked last time about your R&D, your research and development process. I mean, that's what you did at the beginning and secured all your IP and everything else with the Hester Davis scale that we talked about in the first show. But how much do you allocate of your budget to R&D right now? And, you know, what are some best R&D practices in the health field that you could recommend to our listeners?
Yeah, so
like, and also how do you get grants? How do you parlay that into grants?
So, you know, we haven't gone the grant route a lot. There are grants out there called SBIR and STTR grants that are really applicable in this space. They're meant for entrepreneurs. They're meant for people that are working full time on innovating projects and processes. And that opportunity is definitely there. I will say the ASB TDC, which is located right next to the UALR campus, they have a lot of internal free resources if you're interested in those SBIR and STTR grants. And I'm actually remiss for not mentioning them sooner. ASB TDC, Arkansas Small Business and Technology Development Commission, I think they are.
Okay.
I hope I got that right. But they are, we, by the time we discovered them, we were a little bit too far down the road for them. But I think that had we discovered them a little bit earlier, we would have moved a little bit faster than what we did. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you get mired down, but they are a really good resource. And so for grants,
that's a good place to start.
They are a great place to start.
Fantastic. Yeah. That is really good. That's great stuff.
All righty. Hey, not only does our show sponsor BRS Consulting specialize in managing clients' wealth and risk management needs in relation to premature death or disabilities, but they also specialize in helping executives of successful companies develop and manage what we call top hat compensation or non-qualified deferred comp plans. So what has been kind of your key that you've seen? You've had to, as a startup, recruit a bunch of top talent. So what do you guys, I think you've mentioned a little bit of the equity share. Is that kind of the main thing, or do you have some kind of special secret sauce for attracting and retaining top talent?
So I think part of our attraction is they don't have to move. Our VP of sales and marketing, when we hired him, he's based just outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota. And so he's still based there today because everything that we can do, we can do remotely. It actually benefited us to have somebody in the central U.S. in a position like that, that was nimble and could move and had the experience. And so
it's almost like work from home no matter where you are in the country.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So that's a big attraction. And, you know, our pay is good pay. And so, and to be able to be in a company and have the potential to get equity in a company, especially in a company that has so much equity left in treasury and not really so much absorbed, you're not scratching and clawing for every single half of a percent.
Right.
So we can be a little bit more liberal with that if we ever wanted to or needed to be.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. Well, we want to thank you so much for coming back on the program today.
You bet.
I think it was 4 weeks ago you were on or so.
Something like that.
And I know your time's valuable, so we really want to appreciate it. For folks, like I mentioned last time, maybe it's a hospital administrator, maybe it's someone who wants to work for HD Nursing, but what's the best way for them to find out more about what you do and what you offer? Because I think you mentioned like one of the hospitals in the first year, you saved them $1 million or something like that. Maybe I'm quoting that out. But for those who want more information about HD Nursing, especially if they're in hospital administration or something like that, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you guys?
Right. So they can go to our website at www.hdnursing.com. And there is a page there that you can leave a query or a question, or you can email info@hdnursing.com. And those queries will come to us and we can set up a call to introduce you to our solution and what we do.
Great.
All right.
Good.
Well,
thank you
as
so much.
usual, twice. It's just been a great, great wealth of information. If you're a healthcare entrepreneur, especially, and you know others, go ahead and forward this podcast to them because Amy is just full of great, great information. And David always uses this term. I say lightly because he says it of me, but Amy, I think you're brilliant. The way you're able to build this business critical, but also people oriented, and also it's sort of like so many good hats that need to be there are resting on Amy's head. So
that's exactly right.
If you just tuned in, go back and listen to the entire podcast. You won't be sorry you spent the time. It will be well worth it. Until next week, stay safe. And remember, in the business world, to become a shark, we all start out as shrimp.